We're in the book of Jonah this morning, so if you want to follow along in your Bible, we'll be in Jonah chapter 1 and then some verses in chapter 3. And we are starting a new series of lessons. There's six of them in this series. And as Adam mentioned, the theme is Awake, the Call to a Renewed Life. And the author introduces the series of lessons by making one short, direct, simple statement. He said that the church in America needs revival. The church in America needs revival. I don't think there's a person here that would disagree with that. But he goes on to say, in order for the church to have revival, individual members need to have revival. And that's the way the church is revived, when we as the members of the church get revived. Now, we as individuals may say, well, I don't really see that need in my life. But it's a question that we ought to keep asking ourselves. How's our walk with God? Am I as close to God as I was last month, or am I closer? And I would say that, you know, we ought to be getting closer to God every day of our life. We ought to love Him more. We ought to serve Him more. And if you're standing still, I don't think that's what God wants. Again, I think He wants us to be. His purpose is to make us more like Christ. And so we need to be making progress every day. So the question of the next 6 weeks basically is how's our walk, how's our commitment to Christ, and these lessons will help us examine our life and answer that question. And so again, we have six lessons today. It's return to God. We're in the book of Jonah, and as Adam mentioned, the point of the lesson this morning is God's call to return to Him demands a response. Next week, the lesson is return to your first love. We'll be in the book of Revelation. And the point of the lesson is we need to return to a love for Christ that permeates everything that we do. The third week, return to prayer. We'll be in the book of Nehemiah. We move forward by retreating into prayer. The next week, we'll also be in the book of Nehemiah. Return to God's Word. And the point of that lesson is God's Word is the fuel for a consistent, godly lifestyle. Fifth week, we move into the book of Acts. Return to unity. Walking with Christ brings us together in unity of purpose. And then the last week, we'll finish up in the book of Acts. Return to the task. A revitalized or a revived church spreads the gospel. So that's what we're going to be looking at the next 6 weeks. Again, the lessons will help us examine ourselves, help us answer the question, hey, how's my walk with God doing? Where am I? Do I need to be renewed? Do I need to be revived? So we start today with a lesson in Jonah, return to God. Three parts: God's call, God's persistence, God's grace and mercy. And again, I think the question that we're going to be looking at the next 6 weeks is a question that we as Christians need to ask ourselves periodically. You know, there are times in some of our lives where we on purpose walk away from God. We get mad about something that happens to us, or a circumstance comes into our life. We blame God, and we just decide, well, hey, I'm going to quit. I'm not going to serve Him. There are other times where we just sort of drift away. We don't do it on purpose, but we get busy, sometimes get busy with good things, and we don't spend the time in the Word of God or in prayer that we need to. And there's others that are walking faithfully with God. I mean, we all have times in our life where we are faithful and we walk with God just the way we're supposed to. But periodically, we need to examine ourselves and we need to ask our question, how's my walk with God? Does it need to be renewed? Do I need to be revived? And if we're off course, if we've either wandered away on purpose or if we've wandered away by accident, we need to know that God wants us back, and God will persistently call us back, and God will do whatever's necessary to get our attention to draw us back to Him. Now, that's what happened to Noah. Noah. That's what happened to Jonah. Didn't happen to Noah. Happened to Jonah. I was reading about Noah this morning. But that's what happened to Jonah. He was a prophet. Jonah was a prophet. He was a prophet to the northern kingdom of Israel after they split. Okay? The 10 tribes. He'd been used by God to deliver a message of encouragement to that kingdom. He wrote when Jeroboam, and I'll say Jeroboam the second, it wasn't the first Jeroboam that set up the northern kingdom, it was a Jeroboam that came later. He wrote to Jeroboam and prophesied at God's command that God was going to restore some land to the northern kingdom that had been taken away from him. In fact, let me just read you that verse. It comes from, you don't need to turn to it in your Bible, but it comes from 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25. He, talking about Jeroboam, restored the coast of Israel from the entering of Hamath unto the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he spoke by the hand of his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gathaphar. And so there in 2 Kings, God used Jonah to deliver a message to the northern kingdom that he was going to restore this land. Then we come to the book of Jonah. In the book of Jonah, God wants his prophet to deliver a message to Assyria. Now, Assyria was a powerful nation at that time. They were going to come and take the northern kingdom, conquer the northern kingdom and carry it away. They hadn't done that yet, but they were known for their cruelty to those nations that they did conquer. They had a reputation that when they conquered a nation, they were very severe in their treatment of those people that they'd taken captive. I mean, they made them slaves. They did all sorts of bad things to them. And again, they were well known in Jonah's day. They were well known to Jonah what they did to their enemies. And so God called Jonah and said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, which was the capital of Assyria, and I want you to deliver a message for me. I want you to tell them that I've noticed their sin, and I'm going to punish their sin. Now, we know the story. It's a familiar story. Jonah refused. And God did something to get his attention. And usually, when you ask somebody about the book of Jonah, what they talk about is what God did to get Jonah's attention. I mean, we know that he sent a violent storm. Jonah ended up on a boat. And God sent a violent storm. Jonah was convinced that the only way that everybody else could be saved was for them to pick him up and throw him overboard. So he convinced them to do that. God prepared a great fish to swallow him up. And he spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of that fish praying to God. And then the fish vomited him out. And again, that was what God did to get Jonah's attention. And usually when you ask somebody about what the book of Jonah about, that's what they tell you about. Well, it's about this guy that got swallowed by fish. Spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of a fish. But the real message of God of the book of Jonah is that God loves all people. And God will get his message to all people. And when we're disobedient, as Jonah was, he'll get our attention and call us again and then exhibit grace and mercy and give us another chance to serve him. And that's basically what the message of the book of Jonah is about. And sometimes we miss the message because we get so caught up in how God got Jonah's attention. And so let's look at it from that perspective this morning. We're not going to talk much about the storm or about the fish, or we're going to mention it, but that's really not the point of the lesson. So let's start Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, God's call, the call that came to Jonah to go to Nineveh. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And so, the story of Jonah, as told in the book of Jonah, begins abruptly. There's no introduction, there's no title, there's no prologue. Just starts out, the son of, we meet Jonah, the son of Amittai, but that doesn't tell us much because we don't know who Amittai is. I mean, there's nothing in the Bible about him other than he was Jonah's dad. 2 Kings tells us, we read that verse, chapter 14, verse 25, that he was from the city of Gathaphar, which was on the eastern border of the land assigned to Zebulun. So we assume that he was from the tribe of Zebulun, which in Jonah's day was part of the northern kingdom. It was one of the 10 tribes that belonged to the northern kingdom. Verse 1 starts out with the word now. Now. Sometimes that word now is used to refer to something else that just happened. So something happened now, God calls Jonah. If that's the case, again, we don't know what it's referring to, because the Bible doesn't tell us what was happening. It just starts out now. By the way, that's the way the book of Ruth starts. That's the way the book of 1 Samuel starts. So some people think it's just a style of writing. But now, the word of the Lord, and that word Lord is like we've looked at the last couple weeks. It's the name for God, Yahweh. It's the personal covenant name that God gave to Moses at the burning bush when he called Moses to go to Egypt to tell Pharaoh to let his people go. So the word of Yahweh, the personal God of Israel, and that word means speech or commandment. And so God spoke to Jonah. Now again, I use the word spoke. We don't really know how God got the message across. We don't know if it came by way of a dream. We don't know if it was an audible voice. We don't know if it was just a strong impression. We're not told how he spoke to Jonah, but we know this. Jonah knew it was a message from God. Jonah knew exactly what God wanted him to do. There was no doubt in Jonah's mind. There was nothing that Jonah had to interpret. There was nothing that Jonah had to figure out. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying. Now, you might ask the question, why did God call Jonah? I mean, he didn't want to go. I mean, we read about that in the story. Why did God call Jonah? There were other prophets that God could have used. Maybe they would have been more willing to go, and God wouldn't have had to send the storm and the whale. We don't know why God called Jonah. Again, there were other people that could probably deliver the message just as well as Jonah could. There were other prophets that might have been more obedient. But God, in his sovereignty, called Jonah to this task. Step back, ask the question, why does God call us to the tasks that he calls us to? There are probably other people that could do it just as well as we could. There are probably other people that could do the things that God has called us to do as well, if maybe not better than we do it. But God in his sovereignty, God, according to his plan, says, no, Jonah's my guy. Jonah's a man that I want to go to Nineveh and deliver my message. It was the sovereignty of God. And in the same way, in the sovereignty of God, you are God's person for the task that he's called you to. Don't say, God, there must be somebody else that is better at this task. There must be somebody else that could do it as well, if not better than I. It doesn't matter to God. God knew that before he called you. And is in his sovereignty, he called you to the task that he has called you to. So, don't try to figure out why. You'll waste a lot of time trying to figure out why. You'd be better off just to get at doing what God's called you to do. He's called you to do it. That's his will. That's his plan. Get at it. So The word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, and here's what he told Jonah to do. It's a three-part command, not a request, not if you can get around to it, a three-part command in verse 2. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. So he said, first of all, arise. It's more than physically get up. It means to get ready for action, for there's more commands coming. Arise, Jonah. Pay attention, Jonah. Get ready. Get ready physically. Get ready mentally. Get ready spiritually. Because God's got something that he wants you to do. What's he want you to do? Go to Nineveh. God says, Jonah, I want you to go from where you are to Nineveh, that great city. Again, the word great means large. Nineveh was a large city from a geographic standpoint. There was a lot of people that lived in Nineveh. It's not part of our study, but in chapter 4, the last verse, it says there was 60,000 people that lived in Nineveh that couldn't tell their right hand from their left hand, which probably means they were little kids before they realized the difference between right and left. So there were 60,000 little kids. Imagine how many people there were all together in the city of Nineveh. So and it was an important city. Again, it was the capital city of Assyria, one of the most powerful nations that existed on the earth at that time. So, Jonah, I want you to arise, get ready, go to Nineveh, and then I want you to cry against it, cry out against it, preach against it. And again, God's going to tell Jonah exactly what he wants them to preach, exactly what he wants them to cry out. Jonah's message was a message of warning. It was a message of judgment. And the last part of verse 2 gives us an idea of why God wanted Jonah to go. He says, for their wickedness is come up before me. That word wickedness means evil or doing injury to others. And again, Assyria was known, and again, Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. Assyria was known for how cruelly they treated those that they conquered. And so God says, I've seen that. The way you treat people that you've conquered has come up before me. You've done it in front of my face. God's saying, you've almost taunted me with your wickedness. He said, well, I've noticed. And now there's a price that's going to have to be paid for that wickedness. And so the stage is set. God has spoken. Again, there's no doubt in Jonah's mind what God wants him to do. Arise, go to Nineveh, and preach this message of judgment. Now it was time for Jonah to decide what he was going to do. I will remind you this morning that God never forces us to do anything that he calls us to do. He never forces us. He could. He's an omnipotent God. And he has every right to force Christians to do what he wants, because we've been bought by the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. We're not our own. We belong to him. He has every right, if he wants to force us what to do. But he never does. He calls us. He makes his instructions oftentimes very, very plain. I mean, a lot of the instructions we get from this book, we don't have to interpret them. They're pretty straightforward. And we can understand exactly what God wants us to do. But the choice to do it is always ours. It's always a choice. Am I going to be obedient to God, to what God wants me to do, or am I going to disobey? And so in verse 3, we see Jonah's response. It says, but Jonah rose up. That's what God wanted him to do. He said, arise, get ready. But he did not rise up to be obedient. He rose up to be disobedient. It says, Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. Rather than go to Nineveh, he headed for a city named Tarshish. Now, the name Tarshish means to smelt, which means that Tarshish was a city that was either involved in mining or in processing of minerals. There were several cities at that time that bore the name of Tarshish. Probably, most Bible scholars think the one that Jonah was headed for is a place in what is now known as the country of Spain. And so instead of going 500 miles from where he was to the northeast to get to Nineveh, he headed on a journey that would take him 2,000 miles in the exact opposite direction of where God wanted him to go. Notice what it says. And went down to Joppa. He went down to Joppa. Joppa was the closest seaport. He needed to get on a ship to go to Tarshish. The word down is used not only to indicate the geographic direction that Jonah was going, but also the spiritual direction. Because anytime we rebel against God, anytime we are disobedient to God, we are going down spiritually. We are getting worse spiritually. You don't improve spiritually by disobeying God. You hurt your spirituality, if that's a word, in our disobedience to God. The Bible says then he paid the fare. He paid to get on the boat, but he was going to pay even more to disobey God. He had no idea the price that he was going to pay because of his disobedience. And by the way, that's usually the way sin works. We think we know what sin is going to cost. Most of the time, we have no idea. I think in the book that you have and study, the author quotes Adrian Rogers, a preacher that pastored in Memphis, Tennessee, at the Bellevue Baptist Church, where R.G. Lee was the pastor before Adrian took over. He said, sin will take you, Adrian Rogers, this quote's attributed to him, sin will take you further than you want to go, it'll keep you longer than you want to stay, and it'll always cost more than you want to pay. Jonah had to pay to get on the ship. He was about to pay a lot more because he was disobeying God. Bible says, once he got on the ship, he went down into it. So again, disobedience to God always takes us further and further away from God. We keep going down, down, down. And notice in that verse 3 that three times the word Tarshish is mentioned. But Jonah rose to flee unto Tarshish and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish. Three times it mentions this place called Tarshish, again, to emphasize Jonah's rebellion. It might have been one thing if instead of going to Nineveh, he sort of got, 90 degrees off, but he was going 180 degrees. He was going in the exact opposite direction. And notice what it says, from the presence of the Lord. He said, I'm not going to go to Nineveh. That's where God wants me. I'm going to go to Tarshish. If I go to Tarshish, I can get away from the presence of the Lord. I wonder if Jonah really thought he could get away from God. I wonder if he did. He should have known better. He was a prophet of God. He should have known that there's nowhere you can run away from God. I wonder if we realize the same thing when we're disobedient to God. I wonder if we realize there's no place that we can go to get out of the presence of God. Listen, you have a promise. Jonah was what we would call a Christian. You have a promise as a Christian that God will never leave you or forsake you. And when times of trouble, we claim that promise and we bathe in it and we want it. We don't want God to ever leave us or forsake us. We know that promise is also true when we're disobedient to God. Either when we out and out rebel, like Jonah did, or when we, by accident, by not paying attention to what we have in Christ and by getting so busy with other things, when we sort of accidentally veer off course, that promise is still true. God will never leave us or forsake us. There's no place that we can go to get out of the presence of God. Now, when in our times of disobedience, we may not like that much, but I guarantee you, you do not want God breaking that promise. Ever. Because he may decide, if he's going to break his promise, he may decide to break it just when we need him. I'd rather live with the promise full time and suffer the consequences when I'm disobedient so that I'll know that when I need him, God will always be there. Jonah, he should have known, I can't flee from the presence of God. I can't get away from him. So God called. Jonah disobeyed. Now, let's read from chapter 3 of Jonah. We'll read the first 5 verses. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. So, we skip some of the book of Jonah. In chapter 1, the rest of chapter 1, it covers God's punishment for Jonah for his disobedience. It talks about the storm. It talks about Jonah being thrown overboard. It talks about the great fish that God had prepared to swallow up Jonah. And chapter 2 is a record of Jonah's prayer meeting from the belly of the fish. And again, Adam sort of referred to it. You know, we think about this story. We don't really think about what it is to spend 3 days in the belly of a fish. I mean, it stank. There was no seat with a seat belt. And so when the whale was swimming and coming up for air, it was like riding a roller coaster and being tossed about and bouncing off the blubber of inside of that fish. There were probably partially eaten food in the belly of that fish. One of the reasons it stank so much. There was probably seaweed that Jonah got. I mean, I could go on and try to describe for you. It was not a pleasant place. But Jonah made it a place of prayer. What else could he do but pray? And he apologized to God. He said, God, if you'll give me another chance, I'll do exactly what you say. God heard that prayer at the end of chapter 2. And this is revulsive as well. God had the fish vomit Jonah out on dry land. Again, you don't have to use your imagination. Just think about it. Jonah was probably not the only thing that came out of that whale's belly. So that's what's happened between where we left Jonah in chapter 1 and where we pick up in Jonah chapter 3. And again, One of the lessons of the story of Jonah is the lengths that God will go to get his servants back to where he wants them to be, the lengths that God will go to get us back in his will. I mean, he went to a great length to get Jonah back to where he wanted him. So we come to chapter 3, very similar to chapter 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Again, we don't know if there was any other conversation between God and Jonah. We don't know how quickly this happened, how much time passed. I sort of believe that the fish vomited, Jonah got on dry land, and God came to him, okay, Jonah, get up and go to Nineveh. I don't think there was any time that passed. I don't know if Jonah went and dipped himself in the sea to wash himself off and got all the filth off of him, or if he just started. I've often wondered, if he just started, what a sight it must have been when he came into Nineveh. Here's this foreign prophet covered in who knows what, stinking the high heaven, coming into Nineveh saying, get 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. I mean, it would get your attention, wouldn't it? So I don't know. I sort of think the word came to Jonah immediately. And so God gave Jonah a second chance to be obedient. Again, we're not told why. Why did God give Jonah a second chance? We're not told why. I'm glad he did. I'm glad we have a God that gives us second chances and third chances and 100 chances. I'm glad we have a God that never gives up on us, that if we fail to obey him, he always comes back and asks us again. And if he doesn't ask us to do the same thing, he asks us to do something else. I mean, we should never presume on God's mercy, because it was an act of mercy that he gave Jonah a second chance. But the instructions that he gave Jonah in chapter 3 are exactly the same ones that he gave in chapter 1. Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it. Again, that word preach is the same word as cry in verse 1. So, the instructions were the same. The timing was the same. I want you to go now. The place was the same. I want you to go to Nineveh. What I want you to do when you get there is the same. Preach and cry, same word. So the assignment was the same. Now, the last part of verse 2 in chapter 3 is a little bit different than the last part of verse 2 in chapter 1. Verse 2 of chapter 1, God gives the reason that he sent in Jonah, for their wickedness has come up before me. In chapter 3, verse 2, he tells Jonah, I'm going to tell you what I want you to say. I'm going to give you your message. Jonah was a preacher that did not have to prepare a message. God told him exactly what to say. He said, preach unto Nineveh the preaching that I bid thee. Jonah, I don't want you to add anything to it. I want you to cry out. I want you to preach the message that I'm going to give you. This time, Jonah arose, just like he did the first time, but this time he arose to obey. He went to Nineveh. Now, it says in chapter 3 that Nineveh was an exceedingly great city. And so again, in chapter 1 we talked the word great means big, lots of people, an important city. But that word exceedingly comes from the Hebrew word that means to or for God. So this was a city that was not only large, not only had a lot of people in it, not only was important from a people standpoint, but it was important to God. It was a city that was important to God. It was a city that, even though it was a heathen city, even though it was a pagan city, it was a city that belonged to God, that he wanted the people to hear his message. He wanted the people to be warned that judgment was coming. It says it was a city of 3 days' journey, and there's disagreement as to what that means. Some people think it means it took 3 days to walk through the city. And if you include all the suburbs that were around Nineveh, it probably did take 3 days to make it through. Some people think, well, it took Jonah 3 days to get to every nook of the city to deliver God's message. Some people say, well, Jonah got there on one day, he preached on day two, then he left on day three. So it was a 3 day journey for Jonah. But it doesn't make any difference. He spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish. He went into Nineveh for 3 days, however you think about it. So in verse 4 it says he began to enter the city a day's journey. Not distance, but time. On the first day that he went into the city, he began to preach. Again, I don't know if he took time to clean up. I know that people probably recognized him as a Hebrew. And when he delivered his message, again, he was preaching to the capital of the most powerful nation of the world. And he came in with the message, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown or demolished. It was a statement of warning. It was a statement of judgment. There was no invitation to repent. There was no hope that God given that God, if they repented, God would change his mind. 40 days, a time period that we find often in the Bible. 40 days. Time for the people of Nineveh to hear the message, to consider the message, to repent. To change their way of living. And that word overthrown actually comes from the Hebrew word that means to turn about or to change oneself. And so that word overthrown could have a double meaning. It could mean if they don't repent, God's going to change some things. He's going to destroy the city. But if they do repent, they can change the way, the life they're living. They can change what they're known for and perhaps obtain God's mercy, obtain God's grace. So in verse 5, that's exactly what happened. And by the way, it's not in what we're studying, but it's in chapter 4. When Jonah didn't go the first time, it wasn't because he was afraid to go to Assyria. I mean, he knew their reputation. He knew they were a cruel nation. But you read in chapter 4, you know why Jonah didn't want to go? He was afraid that if he went and preached God's message, the Ninevites would hear it and they would repent and God would change his mind and he wouldn't punish the city. Jonah wanted them to get what they deserved. Jonah wanted them to have the judgment of God poured out on their city. That's what Jonah wanted. In fact, he told God. He said, that's why I didn't want to go in the first place. I knew you were merciful. I knew you would change your mind. Well, I'm glad Jonah's not God, aren't you? And by the way, some of us are like Jonah. We see sin and we say, I want God to get that person. You say, I'm not like that preacher. What do you do when you're going 75 miles an hour in the freeway and somebody passes you like you're standing still? What thought comes to your mind? Where's the police? Doesn't matter that you're speeding. You want the guy that just passed you caught. Well, that's how Jonah felt. He didn't want God to show him mercy. He wanted them to get the judgment of God on their city. But they repented. The Bible says in chapter 3, so the people of Nineveh believed God. Now, that word believe, it's not saying that they accepted Yahweh as their Lord. In fact, that word God is a word for, it talks about a deity in general. It doesn't talk about God. But they believed the message that God sent. They believed that God was going to send judgment. And again, they didn't know if God would change his mind or not. In fact, the king says, let's repent. Who knows? Maybe God will be merciful. And so they repented. They did things to indicate their repentance. They proclaimed a fast where they did without food. That's what people did when they mourned. And they dressed in sackcloth. Again, a rough, coarse cloth that people, when they wanted to humble themselves, they put on sackcloth. And then look at verse 10 of chapter 3. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. So God saw the repentance. He saw that they proclaimed a fast. He saw that they put on sackcloth. He saw that they actually made a change. Now again, don't know how long it lasted. I mean, later we read that they turned back to their wickedness, and in the book of Nahum, God pronounces judgment on them again, and we know Assyria was defeated by the Babylonians, and so God's judgment was poured out on the city. But at least for a while, they repented. They turned from their wickedness, and they showed God by way of a fast and by way of sackcloth that they meant what they said when they said, we're sorry and we repent. In response, the Bible says that God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them. Now, that word evil doesn't mean wickedness. It doesn't mean that God, you know, was getting ready to do something immoral and he repented from that. It means God changed his mind. He was going to destroy him. He was going to bring evil upon Nineveh. He was going to overthrow or demolish the city. And God repented. He changed his mind. He intended to destroy Nineveh, and he did not do it. Now, again, this ought to be an encouragement to us. We can change God's mind. We can change God's mind through our actions, through our prayers. I mean, we all know the story of Abraham. When God said, I'm going to go destroy Sodom. I'm going to go destroy it. And Abraham went to God and said, well, what if you find, and I don't have time to go through all the numbers, but so he got down to him and said, God, what if you find 10 righteous people in Sodom? Lot. Abraham's nephew was living in Sodom. Abraham was praying for his nephew. And God said, all right, Abraham, if I can find 10 people, I won't destroy Sodom. Of course, he couldn't find it. But I think God, in answer to Abraham's prayer, pulled Lot out of that city. Abraham changed God's mind. We can change God's mind, just like the people of Nineveh did when they repented. So, again, theme of the lesson, title of the lesson, return to God. Jonah disobeyed. God got his attention. Jonah repented. God gave him a second chance. Jonah came back to God, served God. Nineveh heard the message of God. They repented. God changed his mind. He didn't destroy him. So if we've strayed from God, we need to heed God's call. Because if we're God's child, if we're saved, and we've strayed from him either on purpose or by accident, he's coming after us. He wants us back in his will. He wants us back in his obedience. He will do what's necessary to get our attention. When he gets our attention, he wants us to do exactly what Jonah did. Repent. And say, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And if he's gracious enough to give us another chance, we just need to be exactly like Jonah. Get at it. Get at it. Just go and do what God says to do. All right, we're out of time. Thank you for being here this morning. Again, familiar story, but hopefully we've looked at it in a way a little bit different than we usually think of the book of Jonah. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the lesson in your word this morning. And I pray that we would take it, we would apply it to our lives, we would be obedient children of yours. And we would get at quickly whatever you tell us to do. Be with us now as we go to the service that follows. Help us as your word is preached to listen. Holy Spirit, you work. If there's anybody here that needs to be saved this morning, I pray as they hear the gospel, they would come to Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning.